If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. If you will be able to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we are here in Deuteronomy and chapter 10 and verses 12 through 22. We will read these responsively once again. You can join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses by myself here in chapter 10, beginning together in verse 12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude." Well, here we are once again in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I'll just remind you very quickly, because I know how faithful you are to check up on things and look through things. And if you're new here today and you haven't had an opportunity, I'd encourage you to go back and take a look at the previous 5 Sunday mornings worth of preaching to kind of get an idea fully of where we are in this idea of these requirements that God has bestowed upon us. I'll remind you that a requirement is simply something that is demanded or asked of as a right by authority. And I can't think of any higher authority than God. So certainly he has the opportunity, he has the right, if you will, he has the wherewithal to require something of us, right? If anybody does, God does. And God said that these are things that I demand. These are things that I'm asking as of a right by an authority. These are things that I'm rendering necessary. I'm saying these are the duties, these are the things that we ought to be a part of as Christians, as people called by his name. He says, fear him. We talked about how we ought to fear our God. That reverence, that respect, that, if I may, that is due to him.
Right.
Okay? It's just, he deserves it. He's the one that deserves to be reverenced. He's the one that deserves to be feared. And if we really think about it, God has no obligation to us, folks. He doesn't. He doesn't owe us anything. Matter, quite the opposite. We kind of owe him, don't we? Now, if you think about it, could God end our lives, any of our lives, at any moment that he chooses? Yes, we do not. You haven't done anything. I haven't done anything that says I deserve to be here tomorrow. Or I even deserve to be here this afternoon. None of us have earned that right or deserve that, or it's our right. No, God is sovereign. God is almighty. God gets to determine the time frame of my life, not me. So God is the one to be feared. And at any moment, I ought to be, at least have the wherewithal to know that God is righteous. God is holy. He is just. Those are definitions, if you will, of God and His being. And me and my sinful condition, my life could be over at any moment. Because of the things that I've either done already in my life, or I will do in my life. God knows all those things. He is to be feared. He is to be reverenced. We ought to order our lives knowing that God is almighty. And He is the one that we should follow. It says here in the next portion, to walk in all His ways. And I'll just very briefly remind us that God's ways are God's ways. They're not our ways. So we need to change from our ways to His ways. We need to find out what are His ways. How do they differ from our ways? What way is that we should take? And guess where we find that? Right here in Scripture. Okay? Listen, don't follow things just because they're the traditions of such and such church. Follow them because they're the ways of God found in the Scriptures. We're a, if you will, a Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. That's who we are. And we're going to focus on that Bible-believing part. Okay? I don't care what quote-unquote independent Baptists have done before or do in other places. I'm telling you what this church believes and what this church follows, and that's this book right here. Okay? It's the foundation for all matters of faith and practice. You know what? Men can be wrong. Preachers can be wrong. Churches can be wrong. But this book is never wrong. Okay? So this is where we find the ways of God. All the ways of God. We are to follow them. We are to walk in them in our lives. It's a requirement that God says that He wants for us to follow. Then He says to love Him. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But God wants to be loved. You know, our God's a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me, He told His people. You see, that's pretty narrow. Yeah, it's narrow. Because God is the only God. He's the only one to be served. He's the only supreme being. He is the Almighty. We're to love Him. You know what that means? That means we ought not to love the world. Because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We cannot serve two masters. Because we'll either hold to the one and despise the other, right? Just what Jesus told us. We need to love our God. And then He went on to talk about how we ought to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then we spoke last week on how we're supposed to keep His commandments, His statutes, because they're for our good. You know what? God is not a menace. He's not someone that hates us as His creation and wants to see us suffer and fail and flounder. And no, God wants us to succeed. He wants us to abound. He wants us to grow. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to produce some 40, some 60, some 100, right? God, that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to be at the rock bottom of the barrel all the days of our lives. That's not what God's intent is for us. But God wants us to succeed. He wants us to be satisfied. He wants us to satisfy Him. He wants us to be the kind of servants that we ought to be for Him. If we'll follow His path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You understand that that's what God wants. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God's for us, people. He wants us to be His people, called by His name, and to fulfill these requirements. Now, with that summary in mind, look at what He says in verse 14. He says, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also, with all that therein is. It's just a reminder of the magnitude of our God. It is all His. It's all His. That's what this verse tells us. The heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also, and with all that therein is. It's all God's, folks. We are all God's. This whole creation, all these things that we see about us, and even can see into outer space and all that, it's all God's. Go back to Genesis and you see that God created everything, folks. He put it all in its place. He ordered it all how He wanted to be ordered. And guess what? It's all for Him, and it's all to bring Him glory and honor and praise, because He is God. It's all His. So I think he says this particularly to show the people of God that God is deserving of these requirements. It's just further proof that God should be feared. We should walk in His ways. We should love Him. We should serve Him. We should keep His commandments, because it's all His. He is the owner, and the owner should be reverenced. The owner should be pleased. The owner should be followed. The owner should be all obeyed. And He alone is the owner. Look at verse 15. If you want, these are more arguments for why these requirements should be filled out by us, His people. He says, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day. He said, folks, listen. You, above all the people of the earth, should do these things because of how God has dealt with you. And may I say to you today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you've turned from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you, above all people, should keep these requirements. Should fulfill these requirements because of how God has dealt with you. You know, we ought to feel, again, salvation is not of merit. Okay, and if you will, salvation is a free gift. So we do not have to keep these requirements for salvation. That's not what I'm talking about at all today. But I am talking about our relationship with a God who has done these things for us and has these requirements. If we want to be in right fellowship and right relationship with Him, we need to keep these things. We need to do these things. We need to live these things. These things need to be what our lives are all about. And I keep saying we need to, because back again, isn't He deserving? Hasn't salvation meant enough to you to keep these requirements, to walk in His ways, to love Him? I mean, isn't that enough? Isn't it enough that the Bible tells us we love Him because He first loved us? And Moses is simply telling the people of God, he said, look, God chose you. He loved your fathers and He loves you. And he's making this request. He's making this demand. And guess what? He has every right to do so, because it's all His. And you are His choice. He chose you above all the other peoples in this earth. So keep these things. Do these things. Would you please? Do you see the sentiment here that Moses is talking, and these evidences and these arguments that he's presenting? God is speaking through Moses and talking to His people, and He wants them to follow these things. And so that brings us to our message today, and that's in verse 16. He gives us the method of how to accomplish these requirements. Because we've talked about for 5 weeks already how these are things we're supposed to do. Pastor, you've told us, fear God. You told us, walk in His ways. You told us to love Him. You told us to serve Him. You told us to keep His commandments, His statutes, and all these things. You told us that they're for our good, and you told us that God loves us, and He's almighty, and He deserves to be praised, and He deserves to be worshipped, and okay, but how? The people of Israel might have said the same thing. But guess what? God already had planned to tell them how. Look at verse 16 today. This is what we're going to focus on. He says, circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. You understand that in order to keep these requirements, there is something that we need to take care of. Because in and of our being, we're sinners. We're cursed. Our flesh is no good, folks. This is why I will always argue with people when they begin to spout off and to say, well, you know, people are generally good. I'm sorry, that's not what this book says. This book says that people are generally wicked and generally evil and generally bent toward hell and generally cursed because of sin. That's what the book says. And guess what? Paul says, which were some of you? He even tells us in the book of Romans how we go through this battle of the natural man and the born-again man, and how these things are a fight, because guess what? It's not conquered yet. And this old flesh has a miraculous reviving power every single day. And you got to crucify it. You got to mortify it. You got to choose not to yield your members to it. We're generally wicked. There is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody. Remember, we didn't love God. He loved us first. We have to understand these truths. And so Moses and God certainly understood the inherent nature of man when speaking to these people. Because they said, hey, if you're going to fulfill these requirements, and God is worthy of them, and if you're going to fulfill these requirements because God has chosen you, then you need to do something. And he gives us an example here, and you understand that this was first instituted with Abraham. Okay, and I know the medical, we're not going to get into the medical idea of circumcising the foreskin. Okay? Because I think you can put that together, enough said, okay? But do you understand, this is a cutting away. And we have got to choose. He says it very specifically, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. And that is wherein lies the problem. The Bible has much to say about our heart. And that's why I will very carefully instruct you as grandparents, as parents, maybe as young adults that are not parents yet, never tell your child to follow their heart. Please don't do that. It will lead them the wrong way every single time. Don't do that. Tell them to follow God. Tell them to seek God. Tell them what Moses told these people. Circumcise your heart. Cut off the excess, if you will, or cut off that which needs to be trimmed and cut off. That's what is important. Because that's where our problem lies. When we do not exercise that, then we will not keep his requirements. Because we will follow our heart. Our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It needs to be given to God. It needs to be remade, if you will. It needs to be restored. Jesus Christ is the only one that can do that for us. When we're lost without Him, our heart is broken, if you will. It is evil. It is desperate. It is wicked. And it needs to be remade. It needs to be reborn. It needs to be given a new life in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is the only one that can fill that void in your heart. He's the only one. You know, every single man has a void in their lives, and that void is the perfect shape and size of Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that can fill it. He's the only thing that can make us whole. He's the only one that can complete us and make us what we need to be. Here's some things that the Bible has to say about circumcising our hearts. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says this, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put thee all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee, and shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul." You see, folks, God is the one that needs to be in control of our heart. It says even here in this passage of Scripture that God himself is going to do the circumcising of our heart. You know, God wants to work with us, but we've got to let him. We've got to allow him to work in our lives, and we've got to choose to circumcise our hearts, to cut off those things that don't need to be there. You understand that this is a very serious thing, because if we don't deal with it, we're going to follow the flesh. We're going to follow the world. We're going to seek after sin and its pleasures, because that's what we do. That's what we're made to do, if you will, because of sin, because of that inheritance. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I don't need to tell you about children. Okay? I know a little bit about children. And I do love every one of my children. Some of them are difficult to live with from time to time. And I suppose I'm difficult to live with too, I guess. But I don't need to tell you that even as small as children are, they choose the flesh. Did you know that babies lie? Babies lie. Those little things, they cry when there's nothing wrong with them. They're liars. They're fed, right? They're clean. There's nothing. Why? There's nothing wrong with you. And guess what? You pick them up. You little liar. There's nothing wrong with you. Yeah. They're deceptive little things. I tell you what. From the womb. Gee, I think the Bible tells us about that, doesn't it? Folks, we're bent that way. And if we don't do anything about it, we'll go back to that every time as the dog returns to its vomit. As the pig returns to the mire. It's natural for us. So we've got to take action. If we're going to meet these requirements, we must either ourselves circumcise the foreskin of our hearts or allow God to do it so that we will be what He wants us to be. So that we will meet these requirements. So that we will follow after God as we should follow after Him. In Jeremiah 4 it says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me." So if you think about these things, in this particular passage, here in Deuteronomy chapter 10, Moses is talking about these people, and they're in a pretty good relationship with God right now. He's doing some preventative maintenance, if you will. But in Deuteronomy 30, he's telling them, hey, if you go away from me, then you need to come back. And the only way you can come back is if we circumcise your heart, if we get it into line in order where it needs to be. So here again in Jeremiah, he says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart." You see, this has the meaning of this is that cutting away of that flesh, of that natural man, and giving it over to God. You understand that we need to become what God wants us to be. And it has to do with our heart, folks. We know that our heart in itself is desperately wicked. And we need to bridle it. We need to control it. We need to rein it in and give it over to God that He can be in control. That He can be the one that we serve and we follow. He says, hey, take away this foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. You do understand that this is something that's built into us. If you want to, for sake of time, I'm not going to be able to go over there, but Romans chapter 12, the latter part from verses 12 to 29, a great illustration about circumcision. Dealing with the flesh, the physical circumcision, and applying it to the circumcision of the heart. This is something we need to learn. Over in Psalm 10, it says, Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. In Psalm 36, 1 through 4, it says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He settleth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. In Proverbs 6, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift into running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. In Proverbs 21, Solomon writes and says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Psalm 44 says, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, David was known as a man after God's own heart. And you know, guess what? There were times where David chose to circumcise his heart and times that he didn't. We need to make sure we participate in this circumcision process and allow God to have control of our heart. You see, folks, that's where it is. It's the choice. Why don't we naturally want to fulfill these requirements? Because of our heart. Because it's not circumcised. It's not cut. It's not controlled by God as it should be. When we retain control of our heart, guess what is going to happen? The natural things of the heart. And what are those? I think I've very plainly read them to you. It's not good. But when we give that over to God, when we perform that circumcision process, then God has our heart and he has our attention. Amen. Listen to what it says here in Ezekiel. In chapter 18, it says, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. Later on in that book of the Bible, in chapter 36, Ezekiel says, God says to Ezekiel, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and will gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And if ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. You see, folks, this thing of the heart is so very important. And in closing, I just want to remind you what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And when we choose to circumcise the foreskin of our heart, we are choosing the requirements of God. We are choosing to submit ourselves to his requirements. We're saying, God, we will fear you. God, we will walk in your ways. God, we will love you. God, we will serve you with all of our heart, because I've cut away all of that. I've done away with that which is for myself, which is seeking pleasure, which is seeking sin, which is seeking after my own desires and my own things. I've cut that all away, and I've circumcised the foreskin of my heart, and I'm yours. And I can follow you with all my heart, and all my soul, and all my strength, and all that I am, and all my being. God, now I can meet your requirements. But folks, if we hold on to that, if we hold on to our heart, if we try to deal with it ourselves and follow after it, is going to lead to destruction. We cannot afford to follow the example of the Israelites. How'd they do, folks? How was their track record? Yeah. If you want the most amazing roller coaster ride in the world, just read about the children of Israel. Yeah, it is all over the place. I mean, loop-de-loops and upside downs and everything. I mean, it's a ride. I hope you've been able to read through your Bible this year. We only have a couple weeks left. You've probably seen that in Scripture if you have. Can I tell you something? That's not how it's supposed to be. Even in these short few passages of Scripture that we've read through today, and we've listened to today, one of the main themes is God bringing his people back to him. He's saying, hey, you've not allowed your heart to be circumcised and brought into where it needs to be so that you can keep my requirements. And folks, listen. We as Christians, yes, we talked about this Wednesday night. I hope you have an opportunity, if you didn't get to listen to it, to learn about the word liberty. Yes, we have liberty in Christ. Yes, we're free from the bondage of sin. But don't choose to go back into bondage again. It's our choice. Folks, we don't have to follow these requirements for salvation. Salvation is a free gift. But if we want a good relationship with God, and if we want the favor of God in our lives, and if we want God to be pleased with our lives, we must. That's another message you can go back on Wednesday nights to listen to. I must. We must follow these requirements. We must do them. There were times where God was not happy with his people. When were those times? When they followed after their own heart. When they did that which is right in their own eyes. When they did not circumcise the foreskin of their hearts. They went away from God. And he said, hey, you need to do it. You need to do this. You need to follow this procedure. Because if you do, then you can keep my requirements and you can have favor with me. And folks, it's a choice. That's all I'm trying to say, is we can choose to be in favor with God. But will we? But will we? Remember that out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaketh. God knows our hearts. He searches us. He tries us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And the command that is given to God's people is to circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. He's worthy, folks. We should want to do this, to be in favor with God.